Welcome to Christian Men's Life Group. I'm Ken, and joining me today is Paul and Edgar. This subject is going to be giving thanks. So, Paul, the first question is going to be, how do we give thanks to the Lord? Can you answer that, bud?
Yeah, thanks, and good to see you guys again. Okay, so let's address that. I got two quick verses for here. In chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And another single verse I'd like to share is Ephesians 5, verses 20. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so to kind of captivate it all together, we see here in Colossians that we are to kind of put together three things. We are to, again, we want to make sure we're teaching each other, and I would say good teaching, sound teaching, and well teaching, that you're building a person up. So it might seem counterintuitive, but the Lord takes great pleasure in us being truthful to one another and doing very good ways to preserve the word and to make sure that we're trying to increase in wisdom. Now, the next part is that we should be also singing psalms and hymns as a way to that and being thankful to God. So kind of keep it this way: wisdom, lifting yourself up to the Lord, and thankful to the Lord. Those are the three main ways I would have to construct how to be thankful to the Lord and carry it out. Off to you, Edgar.
Let's talk about giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving, it's not just an event. It's a lifestyle. It's not just about having a special day to remember God's goodness. It's about living with a heart full of gratitude every single day. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, whether you're sick, whether you're unemployed, whether you are going through a hardship, tribulations, anything that you're going through, we have to give thanks to God because he knows what's going on. I mean, he knows the first thing and the last thing in our days. Now, let me break this down for you in a way that helped me understand a little more. And I want to share with you guys, how can you actively give thanks to God, to the Lord, in your day-to-day life? Number one, give thanks through worship. First and foremost, worship is how we give thanks to God. In Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When you come into God's presence, the first thing you do is thank him. It's not just about what you ask from God or what you need from him or what you want him to do next. It's about acknowledging who he is and what he has already done for you. Worship is the ultimate expression of thanks because it centers our hearts on God's greatness. Whether that's singing, whether that's worship songs in church, turning on a playlist in your car, or even just reflecting in silence. I don't know, but sometimes that's what I do. You know, I stay there and I'm just closing my eyes and just thinking and like thanking him in my mind. All of it can be an act of thanksgiving. Number two, give thanks through obedience. Now, this is the hard one because not all of us are obedient to God in the things that he tells us. Like, he wants us to die to ourselves daily, not just one time. And for me, that's obedience, you know, because that's what he's demanding from us. So dying to ourselves daily, it's doing the things that we, in our ego, we wouldn't do, you know, but he demands for us to do them. Now, here's where it gets real. The Bible says in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Giving thanks to God isn't just about saying thank you with your lips. It's about showing your gratitude with your life. When you obey God's word, you're essentially saying, Lord, I'm grateful for your guidance. I'm thankful for your wisdom. And I trust you enough to follow you. It's about living out your thankfulness When you honor him with your actions, you're showing him the deepest form of appreciation. Now, here's number three. Give thanks in all circumstances. And I know, guys, this is hard because it's also powerful. But this is what the Bible says in Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. This is not about being thankful for the trial, but being thankful in the trial, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of tribulation, being thankful because you know that is not going to last forever. That's not going to keep you there because the Bible says that he is with you all the time. Even when you're in trial, when you're joyful, when you are happy, when you're sad, like the way you're feeling, no matter how you're feeling, he is with you. And you might not always understand why you're going through that, what you're going through, but gratitude shifts your perspective. It helps you to remember that God is still with you. He's still in control and he's still working everything for your good, even in the midst of struggles. When you can thank God in the hardest time and the hardest times, that's when your faith gets stronger because your relationship with God gets even deeper, man. And your testimony becomes much, much powerful because not everybody that is going through the same thing that you are going can say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, because I know you are with me. Thank you, God. Because sometimes after our worship, this is something that I learned this week and I want to share with you guys. After your worship gets tested to see if it's only from your lips or if it comes from your spirit in your heart, because the Bible says that he's looking for people that worships him in spirit, you know, and in truth. So what does this mean? That it's not just with your mind. It's not just with your lips. It's with your spirit. It's with your soul. It's with your mind. It's with your heart. That's what he tests. And after you pass the test, you can move on to the next thing. Now, here's another point. We can give thanks through service. And this is, I would say, something huge. You know, Jesus said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. This is in Matthew 20:26. And one of the most practical ways that you can give thanks to God is by serving others. Simple as that. Serve your neighbor. Serve your friend. Serve that person that you don't like at work. You know, those people that you consider annoying, even those people you have to serve. And why? Because when you serve others, you're showing God's love in action. And it's one thing to say thank you, but it's another thing to show your thankfulness by loving and serving the people around you. So serving God's people is a direct way of serving God himself.
All right, guys. Well, Edgar, that was really great. Paul too, very great. Picking up my notes, it's like right when you're starting to talk, Edgar, and you're talking about, you know, being thankful that he's present during your trials and serving and all that. And you know, I was just putting the basic things, and it made me think about it while you were talking. We definitely have to give thanks because during our trials, I don't know how many trials I have gone through. I always look back and I always remember it could have went a whole different way. But when God's presence, when I feel his presence there, he directs me to a different direction and I couldn't do it on my own will. It's always by him. Luckily, he's with me during my trials. When I learn from my trials, then I can be able to pass on what I learned to other people. That's important. I know with Thanksgiving, like during my prayers, I always give thanks. Before I even start with my prayer, I always give thanks. And we got to remember that too. It's just not like, you know, when we're giving thanks, you know, we always think about turkey, football, and all that. But we got to give the Lord thanks every single day because every time we wake up, you got to thank him for that first breath that we wake up, you know, that we're able to get up and be with our family. There's so much blessings around us, and we got to just remember for what he's given us. So on to the second question. Second question is, Paul, how do we express your thanks inwardly? Can you answer that, bud?
No problem. So One of the big things, again, is so we have, we'll backtrack a little bit to before. So we want to obviously increase in wisdom. We want to make sure that we are giving sacrifice and praise. And we want to make sure that we are, in terms of we're singing praise along those lines, and we're thankful in your heart. So I think one of the big parts is mastering that thankfulness in your heart in a way. So we can go and see, you know, with the Lord, we should see, acknowledge, and attribute the good things that we notice that are happening around us. When there's good things that are happening, there's good situations, we need to be thankful to the Lord, because his intention and will is to do good, is to help out. And yes, sometimes we go through some different corrective points along those lines, but having that heart and conditioning yourself to, in a way, be truthful. It's not like you're like trying to brainwash your heart in a way, but you need to acknowledge and bring that back in. So it's those little things. I mean, I literally was just eating like a little potato. And I mean, I was like, you know, I really reminded me, it's like, wow, you know, there is some point, sometime that someone, you know, in Ireland couldn't eat that potato, right? Because of the blight and the plague and everything and how it would get you sick. I mean, there's a lot of situations where it's like, wow, I mean, something as simple as, you know, a potato, I mean, people would starve for. And that's something we need to be absolutely just constantly reminding us, because we do live here in America where, I mean, we have just so much opportunity and so much help, and it is very huge and ready to go along those lines. But just remember the thousands of years, I mean, it was hard farm life. It was very difficult to just make it through. You would go through 7 years of drought and 7 years of good times, and you had to go through and work it harder. You know, it's all these different times. It's hard. So how do we inwardly do this? I think we need to have one, instill his word in our heart. We need to get the word in there. We need to get the scripture in there. We need to get Philippians, Psalms. And we also need to remember the stories of the Bible. Because sometimes, you know, we're always constantly like, oh, we need a specific verse to the specific thing. But we also need to remember the stories. We need to pull things together, how God has pulled it through and how God has made it happen for all of his servants, and really, truly is a God beyond all gods. And so that's a big part to it too. And I think also seeing too, when, you know, another inward thing is God also wants us to love our neighbors, right? So inwardly too, when we see our neighbors, we need to start looking at them as though they truly are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and really, truly help them out. And even if they're enemies, we still need to be a blessing to them, because we need to understand our hearts. Like, you know, it's easy for us to love people who love us, but it's hard to love people who do not love us. And so I think one of the biggest parts with that is we just need to put on that condition. We need to put on Christ in our hearts as much as possible. And those little things, building up that wisdom in the heart for us is the best way, I think, to inwardly go and do it. So through prayer, for helping through charity, more wisdom, more understanding, keeping the stories in there. I think those are the best ways inwardly how we can go and worship the Lord.
Well, that's great, Paul. Edgar, can you answer that?
You know, it's not that different from what Paul said. Like, he got it all on point. But I just want to add a little bit. You know, you can express that, your thanks inwardly, when you shift your focus. You've shift your focus. Thankfulness begins with a perspective. But you can be truly thankful if you're always focused on what you don't have. You have to train your heart to focus on what you do have. The Bible says in Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. And notice, it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. There's a big difference there. That shift in mindset, recognizing that even in the struggle, even in the storm, God's still good. God's still with you. And that is worth thanking him. If we take time to reflect on God's goodness in your life, it's not just about what he's doing right now, but about remembering what he's done in the past. We're approaching the end of the year. And I bet a lot of us went through many things, man. Many things that we thought, I guess this is it. You know, I guess I'm going to lose my job. And I guess my son is going to stay sick. I guess, I don't know, some other people, I guess they thought they were going to get divorced or, you know, the situations are different from each person depending on their purpose and their, but at the end of the day, we're in November and God hasn't changed. He hasn't left us, you know? And I think gratitude is like the fuel for your faith and for your future. You know, we were having so many things that were happening to us at once in this year, but all of those things are gone. And as we're approaching Thanksgiving, you know, and we choose this specific topic, I get to remember in every little thing, God showed up, even though he didn't show up the way I wanted to see him, but he showed up and he delivered me from all of those things. The Bible says that we will have so many tribulations, you know, and afflictions, but from all of them, he'll deliver us from. And if he did it before, he can do it again. This is in Psalms, you know, when David will often pause and reflect on God's faithfulness, saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that continual praise comes from an inward recognition of how much God has already done. And with the faith that even though he has done a lot, he's going to do much more, you know. And when you realize that you're thankful inwardly, that's also worship, man. That's worship. Because worship is not just singing a song or raising your hands at church. It's an attitude of your heart. You express your thanks inwardly by simply being aware of God's presence. That's what I think. When you have an internal posture of gratitude, your heart aligns with God's will. You begin to see God in everything, and you begin to be thankful for everything. Even though the things didn't go the way you wanted, that awareness is the beginning of true worship. And sometimes we're so busy moving from one thing to the next, and we don't take time to just pause and breathe, to express our thanks by making space to listen to your own thoughts and to hear the voice of God. And when you slow down and reflect, you begin to feel the weight of God's grace in your life. And that breath in your lungs, when you go, that beating your heart, those relationships, gratitude begins to arise because you will begin to be more aware of everything that God is doing around you for your own good. So then you start thanking him without even realizing it, because your focus is not in what you don't have, but is in his goodness. I don't know if this made any sense, but I just wanted to reframe it, you know, like it's a completely change of mind when you begin to thank God inwardly. So yeah, that's what I think.
Wow, that was great. Both of you guys, that was just amazing. Paul, on to question number three. How can a Christian man cultivate thankfulness in today's world, and what role does it play in our spiritual growth? Can you answer that, Paul?
Yeah, I think the biggest part of this is humility. And thank you guys, especially Edgar, for your perspective too. The being humble is a form of thankfulness that sometimes we just don't really appreciate or realize. And even also, just as we were saying before, is being silent too. It's kind of an interesting time, is that sometimes having that moment of that silence with God is able to be a really good way to translate that humbleness and that respect for the Lord. Because why do we need to keep on speaking up before him? Why do we need to keep on putting things into this unless it's filled by the Holy Spirit? And it truly is. I mean, one of the easiest things we can do is honestly just keep quiet recognize God, know who he is, and trust specifically in him. And that's, I think, the key part to it is when that word is embedded in our hearts and we truly are able to see that day to day, it's the man sometimes in the situation, maybe this is what the best way I see it, is there's a council going on. It's a city council. It's hard. It's a tough subject. Something might be really bad. It's happening to children and they're bringing it up and everything like that. And the thing is, sometimes it's that person who is silent and they're able to be in awe of who God is at that moment, knowing truly who he is. And that can really help out versus being boisterous or boasting or trying to show off. I mean, the big part is sometimes people are just, you know, they're shouting from the rooftop, I'm thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And I mean, I've been in churches and situations where it's like, okay, some people get blessed, but you know, there's some people who are just down and out, and they've been hit over and over and over with wave after wave after wave of tribulation, and it's really difficult. So it's sometimes in our thankfulness, I think the big part is to spread it to others too. So we need to be quiet. We need to be the person who's amongst the council who could be thanking him and doing the right things and holding our speech and making sure that we have good yeses and good noes. And that could really help out to keep things nice and simple. And then the next part is to make sure that when we're thankful, spread that thankfulness, because it's good, but do in a way that's not gloating. Because when you're gloating over and over, you got to look to your neighbor to the side and to your left and your right who are still going through some tough times, right? And so I think a big part of this thing is sharing the charity. I think that's a big part of this, is knowing that, you know, the times that we're blessed, still the person next to you is still praying for the same situation. And we need to make sure that we're being responsible and making sure that when we are taking in that blessing, we take it in a good way that lets us grow and doesn't let us stumble and also forget where we are in our situation and where we've come from.
Well, that's great, Paul. Agar, same question to you.
I love that. I love that. I think that cultivating thankfulness is a choice. That's what I think. Because it's not something that just happens. It's something that you have to intentionally cultivate in your life, especially in a world that is often promoting the opposite, negativity, entitlement, comparison. But here's the thing. When you choose thankfulness, you're actually also choosing spiritual growth, because thankfulness starts with the heart. And in Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So if you're going to cultivate thankfulness, you got to start with your heart and your perspective. And in today's world, we're constantly seeing messages that tell us that we don't have enough. We should be dissatisfied with what we are, with what we have. You know, just, we don't have to go that far. You know, you see Instagram, you see Facebook, all of these people. And even if you don't want to, you feel that like comparison, you know, oh, look at me. Look, I'm working a 9 to 7 job. And look at this guy. He's enjoying life at the beach, or there must be something that I'm doing wrong and things like that, you know? And then what happens? Your mentality starts shifting and your perspective becomes like you start focusing in the wrong things. But as a Christian man, thankfulness is about shifting your focus. You have to intentionally set your mind and focus on what you have rather than what you lack. And I'm talking about recognizing the goodness of God in your life again, but not just in the big stuff, you know, but even in the smallest things. Like I was saying before, like the air in your lungs, you know, the roof over your head, the people around you. Thankfulness begins with a heart. that chooses to see God in every part of your life. So it's not enough to be thankful when things are going well. Thankfulness has to be a daily practice. And since we live in a world where comparison is an all-time high, so like I was saying, like social media in general, and even just the hustle culture, it's all about what you don't have, but what others have, or where you're not. But comparison is the enemy of contentment. And contentment is the bedrock of thankfulness. In Philippians 4:11-12 says, I have learned to be content whether the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be, I mean, what it is to have plenty. So, I mean, Paul had mastered that, you know, cultivating thankfulness no matter what was happening around him, because that was in his heart. And you see, it's not about having a perfect life. It's about being content with what you have, knowing that God has you exactly where he wants you to be. Right now, where we are, it's where he wants to be for a reason. Like right now, you're hearing this podcast because God wants to show you something. I don't know exactly what it is, but you'll see and it will speak to you, because what he wants you is to learn to grow and to be thankful. And you'll see spiritual growth happening in ways that you've never imagined when you start changing your mind to these things. Now, thankfulness is more than just an attitude. It's like a spiritual discipline. And I want to say this. When you cultivate thankfulness in your heart, eventually you're going to start seeing the fruits. And those fruits are going to start giving that purpose that God put in you to help those around you. It's like a tree, you know? Thankfulness is like a seed. It depends on you how big you want it to grow. If you put water in, you know, in the spot, in the plant daily, man, that tree is going to grow from maybe 5-10 years, you know, you're going to have something there. But if it's just every time that you feel like it, I mean, sometimes we don't even feel like getting up out of, from our beds, you know, we don't even feel like going to work or doing things that we have to do, but still we do them. Why? Because we want the benefit of it. So now if we want the benefit thankfulness brings, then we need to cultivate that daily. And eventually that's going to grow. And you're going to learn to see God in every situation and every perspective. And also you're going to help others with joy, not just because the Bible says, but with joy because you feel thankful that you're able to do that. So yeah, that's what I think.
Well, guys, that was amazing answers from both of you guys. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I got onto this podcast this morning, this just a little while ago, and I just wasn't in the mood. I was just fighting with my wife last night. I'm just down and out. And my son's working with me today. He said, why are you going to go on? You seem so angry. I got a headache and all that. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that we could have a platform to talk with my brothers and be able to share his word and be able to be thankful for my brothers, because you know what? That headache is gone right now. I feel uplifted just by talking to you guys. If this doesn't help anyone else, it's definitely helping me. So I just want to thank you guys, but actually we are running short of time. So I got the last question and we got to keep it kind of quick. So I apologize, but I was just looking at the time. How can our understanding of salvation shapes our response to tribulations and trials, and how can thankfulness along with gratitude influence? Paul, can you answer that?
No problem. I think the really basic and simple take on this is, you know, we see what was on the cross. We see the situation where Christ is coming in to redeem, save, give grace, give mercy. And when we see these things that come with salvation, it is powerful in a way that lets you see how God loves you in a true way, that he sent his own son to unbelievers, believers, so they could go take and partake in him and be able to go put on and really see how this is done. And I think that's the big part, is we see the sacrifice. When we look at that sacrifice, we're able to put that more into connection with our tribulation and realizing, hey, this doesn't look too different. We got to realize there's things where we sacrifice, there's situations where people hate us, there's situations where we go through different health problems. I mean, you know, we're going through all these different parts and times and different emotions, but we're seeing this because we can say, okay, through salvation, we're all going to come the same. We're going to hold it together, be together through Christ Jesus and his testament, who he is as Lord and how he was resurrected by the Father. And so that's a very big part of it. And with the gratitude, I mean, the gratitude and influence, you know, the situation is, I think it should be infectious in a way, just like us sharing the word. I mean, it just reminds me specifically, like Hebrews here, we got to make sure that we are absolutely, it was Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And that's the biggest verse I want to say to this. What is this sacrifice that he made through that salvation? And what is the fruits of lips that acknowledge his name? It's by the testimony through and acknowledged through the Holy Spirit that Jesus truly is Lord. That is huge. That's that, you know, we've switched a situation where we have to do the animal sacrifice situation to work for cleanliness, you know, to be before God. And it was no solution. And so the point being is, now what does God say our sacrifice is for this salvation that he made through his son? He said it's one thing. It's through the fruit of the lips acknowledging his name. And his name is Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. That is how we're able to do that. And that's how we're able to be thankful in a way that's like no other.
Amen, Paul. All right, Edgar, hey, same question. Same question.
Yeah, when we get to understand salvation, you realize that you're not just someone who's trying to survive in this world, you know. You are a child of the Most High God. So that means your circumstances, they don't define you, man. They don't define you at all. The enemy might want to convince you that you're stuck, that your past mistakes or your current struggles are who you are. But in reality, what happens with salvation is that salvation redefines you. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. So when you're in Christ, you have access to a new identity. So you're no longer bound to your past, your failure, your struggles, anything, man. Because when tribulations come, because they will, you can look them square in the eye and say, you know what? This might be happening around me, but it's not happening to me because I am in Christ. So I'm not going to stay here. This is not who I am. This is happening to me, but this is not who I am. And here's the revelation. Salvation shifts your mindset, so you're no longer a victim. You know, you're not a victim of your circumstances. You are a victor through Jesus Christ. And that's the first step to responding to trials with the strength, hope, perspective, gratefulness. It's what we need. And that's what we get when we change our mindset. Just to finalize this, just catch this. Salvation won't remove trials. It won't. In fact, salvation often leads us directly into trials. I mean, look at Jesus. You see how he was led into the wilderness, how he had to I go to the cross and everything that he went through, you know. But here's the thing. Your trials are not to break you. They're here to build you. So let's finish this. Just let me tell you. Every trial you face, Ken, Paul, me, and everybody that is listening to this podcast, is an opportunity for growth. Okay? Your salvation isn't just about your ticket to heaven. Nope. It's about God working in you right now, in this very moment, now to make you more like Christ. So thankfulness and gratitude play a huge role here. So you're not thankful for the trial itself, but you can be thankful in the trial because you know that God is using it to help you grow, to refine you, to make you stronger, and to bring you closer to his purpose. So when you understand that salvation isn't just a one-time event, but a process of continual transformation, your heart is going to begin to overflow with gratitude. Even though if life isn't easy, gratitude is going to be there. Because you know, everything has a reason and everything plays a role in your path in this earth to become more like Jesus.
Amen, brothers. Amen. Well, that's the end of it, guys. And I really appreciate your time. I just want to wish you both a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you guys next time. So thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, let us know. Bye for now.